Today we will be taking the last set of people, and we want to see whether we can register for the Easter lunch. For those of you who would like to know, we have a special iCare series for this week. It began on Saturday, the day prior to Palm Sunday, and then it will go through the whole week. And I hope to be able to write a poem each day just to commemorate what we call the Holy Easter Week, remembering the Lord lovingly with all our heart, you know, just rejoicing in the Savior that we have. And then next Sunday will be a very, very special Sunday for us once again. Not only for Easter Sunday as we worship the Lord together as a church, but we will be receiving into our church staff, Camille, and Camille will become the one who will help us coordinate a ministry to children. And I think this week over at camp, we begin to realize just how important that ministry really is. And we're going to try to strengthen this ministry and keep in touch with the kids a little bit more during the week, not just on Sunday. And we're going to try and see how we can reach out to them and be a special blessing to their hearts. So she will be received into our church as staff. And we look forward to this special event. Then we look forward also at Christmas, at our Christmas service. The two young men who have led very, very, with a great sense of definiteness and certainty, both of them will begin their training as student pastors in 2017. But on Christmas Day itself, we will be receiving them as our student pastors. And it is such a joy to be able to share the Word of God with them in the hope that one day they will take their place and serve God effectively. Where does it all begin? And like Dr. Daniel said, it begins with knowing God and His love that brought salvation to us. Now, the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ was understood in different ways by different people. And we read this. In John 1 begins with the writer John, the apostle John. And to him, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very Word of God. To me, that's a wonderful perspective. And it was the Word that became flesh. This was John's perception of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a powerful preacher in those days. His name was also called John, but he was called John the Baptizer, sometimes called John of the Baptism. And his regard for Jesus was powerful. And he called him the Lamb of God. Oh, that is such a wonderful concept. He is the Lamb of God. And then there was another person. And this man was a renowned scholar in Israel. His name was called Nicodemus. And being a scholar, he recognized the worth of the teachings of Jesus and called him, "You are a teacher sent from God." It takes a scholar to recognize someone's worth insofar as his doctrines are concerned. To the Samaritans, to whom Jesus came very briefly in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, we read how they addressed Jesus. He was the Christ sent from God. Now, this morning, I need to ask you personally, what is Christ to you? Now, that's an important question. To John, who knew him, this was Jesus. He was that living Word of God. To the preacher, John the Baptizer, he was the Lamb of God slain for our sins. To a scholar, Jesus was a great teacher. To the Samaritans, Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ who was sent by God. You know, they discovered Jesus in different ways because each one is looking for Jesus in a different way too. What are you looking for in your life? And I was very glad that Moses shared what he did. What was he looking for? To be more drunk? I don't think so. To spoil things, go out there and have a good time, whatever that means. And he began to realize that is so empty, that is so destructive, that is so harmful. You don't want to spend the rest of your life there. And so he began to search. And he searched, he found the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to share some truth with you taken from the Gospel of John, which have become very, very, very special to my own heart over the years. In John 6:27, Jesus speaks about himself in this way. And he said, "Do not labor for the food which will perish. Rather, for the food which endures to everlasting life." And then he spoke of himself as one who understands life because he was man himself, the Son of Man, he calls himself. And he said, the Father has set his seal on him. If you want to believe in somebody, you must ask yourself honestly, earnestly. Nicodemus would never have come to Jesus until he respected him for his doctrine. A scholar will never, never look at another scholar unless this person is truly worthy of admiration. No scholar will just take any book and say it's a great book. Normally, there is a screen. We screen the person for depth, for truth, for knowledge, and so on and so forth. And Nicodemus concluded, God's seal is on him. Because the kind of knowledge that he has, the kind of teaching that he has, the kind of power that he has, is only one conclusion. This God has set his seal upon him. In a couple of days, the Samaritans, when they encountered Jesus, the more they talked to him, the more they were convinced, this man is different. He is the Messiah. This is the one sent by God to the world. And so each one becomes convinced in his own special way. Now, when I look at Jesus, I look at him and I want to know, is God's seal upon him? On his mind, on his heart, in his life, in what he does. Is God's seal upon him? It must be. Because if the God's seal is on him, I want to learn more. Otherwise, there is no point. And so to everyone who serves the Lord, our word always is this. Paul spoke about how the seal of apostleship was upon him. Those who serve the Lord, each one, God will seal for himself. This is my servant. This will be my seal upon him. And for Jesus, that was very obvious. God's seal was upon him. Now he went on further to speak to the people. And this is something that he wanted to share with them very, very much. In verse 35, which is a beautiful text to memorize, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." Now he is not talking about a physical hunger or a physical thirst. That one you can find out anywhere, anytime. Right? Shortly after this, you will be no more hungering, no more thirsting. We're going to have a Palm Sunday lunch. Well, that's easy. But the hunger and thirst of a spiritual nature is not the same. You know, I'm just really, really encouraged. Quite a number of people have written to me and said to me, Pastor, what is this 40 days, 40 nights thing? I want to try this. Each day, every day, I just felt compelled that I must begin outlining a book which I hope to find time to write. I don't know where to find the time, but I will try and squeeze in time here and there to examine, to look into the things, put it together. And my own search has gone into Philippians, gone into the Gospels, gone into the book of Hebrews, just to fathom this 40 days, 40 nights that Jesus had experienced. What is that all about? Well, I can tell you this. He found that he was never hungry, that he was never thirsty. In 40 days, in 40 nights, he began to realize that he has got something to offer anybody, everybody. If you are looking for a purpose of life, if you're looking for a power of life, if you're looking at a focus of life, so that you will never be hungry, never be thirsty ever again, then Jesus would be it. Now here we have two young men. Both of them are working in a bank. Well, at least in the banking industry, or at least in the financial industry. Eugene works with Temasek, and Moses works with UOB, and he's an assistant vice president already for some time. So both of them, if you're looking for money, don't quit. Stay where you are. Right? You might become one of the senior bankers and you'll be one of these days. And we will rise up in Temasek. But is this what you are looking for? The answer is not. I'm looking for something that will satisfy my spiritual hunger and thirst. What is it? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you were to come to me, I am going to be that bread of life for you, and I will be life for you. It's like bread. You know, you are never going to be hungry and thirsty and looking for meaning and power and purpose and everything else you're looking for in life. Jesus is it. Well, I think that's a very, very powerful statement. How does this apply to our life personally? This is beautiful. I like the next part of it. In verse 39 and 40. I remember sharing these thoughts just recently, a few weeks ago actually. And somebody came up to me and wrote to me and said, Pastor, how do I see this matter of believing in Jesus? How certain can I be about believing in Jesus? That, and so I shared these two verses with her. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but that I should raise it up at the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that wonderful? This is just so absolutely precious. How wonderful it is to be assured. And baptism, reaffirmation, it just confirmed this for us in wonderful practical ways, that this is what Jesus said. It's true. Those who come to him, that person will never be lost. Isn't it wonderful to know this? That Lord, his eyes should lose nothing. And one day the Lord Jesus will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God. The person who sees Jesus, receives Jesus as one sent by God, Jesus says he will have everlasting life. To me, that is such a wonderful thought that it is worth repeating again and again and again. What is this that we share at this during this Easter time? We know that there are people out there trying to look for meaning in life, thinking that partying is this is the life, dressing up is this is the life, and so on and so forth. They think that, wow, this is great. And then they spend all kinds of money and they got credit card bills. And, you know, if you look at the statistics in Singapore, there are people who have literally racked up billions of dollars in debts that they cannot pay. They're finding hard to pay. What happened? What is this world of promise that, no, this is it? It doesn't work that way, does it? But when we talk about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, this is life. And there is everlasting life. You will never hunger. You will never thirst. Look at all these things. You know, you don't need to be part of any of these things that the world offers because you have already the things which God has given. You know, it's so absolutely wonderful. This is the will of God. How wonderful it is to know that our souls are secure in the Lord Jesus. You know, we have an everlasting life in which we will never hunger nor thirst. We have total, complete satisfaction with what the Lord has provided for. I think this is so absolutely important. Is this invitation only for the disciples, for only clever people like Nicodemus? The answer is no. It's to everybody. Sadly, not everybody accepted him. Verse 64, we read, "There are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and in fact, who would betray him. And then in verse 66, "From that time, many who called themselves disciples, they went back and they walked with him no more." So that's one response. That's a sad, unfortunate, poor response. And so he asked the disciples, the 12 of them, and he asked them, "Well, do you want to go away as well?" Verse 67. And Peter answered him on behalf of the others, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go?" Nobody else can point us to Christ. Nobody can point us to God the way you can. And we're not leaving. And so there may have been lots of people who left Jesus, but there will always be a fervent, faithful, sturdy few who say, "I am in." And they will stay on. Isn't that wonderful? Well, this morning, I just want to invite you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you looking for in life? Who are you looking for in life? Well, Jesus offers eternal life. He tells us we will never hunger nor thirst when we come to him. And all we need to do is to know who he is, believe that he's sent from God, and we are included into the kingdom of God. And this invitation is for all of you, for everyone who is here. So if you are not certain, if you have not really asked Jesus to be your Savior at any time, this morning you have the opportunity. And you can do this. And in a simple way. I remember when I first said my first prayer to God, I wrote it all out. I didn't know how to pray. So I said, "Dear God, you know, I would like to believe in Jesus. And, you know, I'd like you to become my heavenly father. Amen. That's it. I don't know what else to say. So I sat down there and waited quietly for something magical to happen. Nothing happened. But, you know, I look back now. I see God's seal upon my life. I see God's seal upon my ministry. And I see that truly it is wonderful. You never hunger, you never thirst. There is total satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be the same for you. You may begin humbly today. And if you need help, we'll be here to help you. Talk to any one of us who would like to pray with you, encourage you, point you to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that you can begin your journey of faith as well. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so very much that we can have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And knowing Him as our Savior, we have the promise of everlasting life, and we will not need to hunger nor thirst ever again. And pray, Father, that you will bless us as we truly express our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the Christ of God. And we pray for your blessings on anyone this morning who is going to open his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. May that person truly come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be assured that he can have eternal life and be a child of God from this morning forward. We ask you to bless. And bless also, Father, this offering that we present to you as an expression of our love for you as our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, whose life we especially remember this Holy Week. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name.